following program is a special presentation from the Talking Information Center. Please enjoy the show.
I love those J.I.N. Season's greetings from the Talking Information Center, and happy holidays to our live listeners and studio audience here in the Richie Mahoner Community Broadcast Studio. I'm your announcer, Eric Joseph, and in honor of the holiday season, I welcome you to tonight's special broadcast of TIC's radio and podcast players, also known as TIC's rappers. This evening, we present one of the most beloved Christmas stories ever written, Miracle on 34th Street. We hope you enjoy our live reading. TIC efforts to provide creative content designed to accomplish two things: entertain or move our listeners, and amplify our listener base. This is only possible with support from our volunteer readers, who make up 100% of the casts and productions we present. Contact us at ticnetwork.org for more information on volunteering or donating to our organization. Now, a special thanks to our sponsors, who make it possible for this presentation to air uninterrupted: the Bay Colony Shakespeare Company, and the Plymouth Lions Club.
For where thou art, there is the world itself, and where thou art not, desolation. No, Shakespeare wasn't speaking about Santa and the spirit of Christmas, but his meaning is the same. The Bay Colony Shakespeare Company's mission is to produce dynamic, engaging, and inspirational productions for students and theatergoers of all ages, backgrounds, and communities. The BCSC travels throughout New England to bring the bar to students via 75-minute productions right in their own school settings. Last year, over 7,000 students enjoyed the performances, talkbacks, and study guides. Come see what the Bard has to offer your students on baycolonyshakespeare.org and learn how we entertain the audience, encourage the actor, and educate the student.
The 60-year-old Plymouth Lions Club is proud of the work and contributions they make to their community's well-being, and by sharing common values, they've made a truly positive impact. Through commitment and hard work, they have grown to over 70 members who pull together on projects and events that service the various needs of the community. How do they make an impact? They serve. The Plymouth Lions Club serves the local community by undertaking outreach initiatives like supplying eye tests, vision screenings, and pre-owned glasses that support the eradication of preventable blindness, and supporting ongoing projects like food banks, boys and girls clubs, and hearing aids that benefit and address the needs of all people living in the greater Plymouth area. They promote these volunteer efforts through the bonds of mutual understanding, friendship, and respect towards others. Contact the Plymouth Lions Club by calling 617-686-0119 or visiting their website at www.theplymouthlions.org. And now, on with our version of Miracle on 34th Street.
What fun it is. It's Thanksgiving Day in New York City. On a broad avenue adjoining Central Park, an annual event is being joyfully awaited: the Spectacular Parade, presented by Macy's Department Store to herald in the Christmas season. Away from the crowd are two of Macy's public relations experts.
He's simply wonderful, Mrs. Walker. Just look at him on that float. The most realistic Santa Claus we've ever had. Why, he didn't need padding at all, did he?
Padding?
Why, didn't you notice his tummy? So round, so firm, so fully packed. Well, now that everything's under control, where on earth did you find him?
I don't know. I just turned around, and there he was.
And to think that the man whose place he took was intoxicated.
With a breath that would knock over a reindeer.
Oh, just think if Mr. Macy had seen him.
Well, what if Mr. Gimble had seen him? Competition between our stores is tough enough.
Well, the parade's starting. Let's stand at the curb.
Well, not I, Mr. Shellhammer. I'm going home to relax. Anyway, I can see it from there. I live just around the corner.
Oh, so you do. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, Mrs. Walker. And congratulations on finding the best Santa Claus in Macy's history.
Well, it certainly is a wonderful parade, Susan. Just look at that clown. Gosh, what a giant.
Giant, Mr. Gailey? There are no such things as giants.
Well, not now, maybe, but in the olden days, there...
Really, Mr. Gailey? That's absurd.
Well, What about the giant that Jack killed? You know, in Jack and the Beanstalk?
Everybody knows that's a fairy tale, and I agree with my mother. Fairy tales are silly.
Come in.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm Susan's mother. My maid said...
Hello, Mother. I'm watching the parade. Mr. Gailey invited me.
Hello, darling.
Well, Susie's told me quite a lot about you, Mrs. Walker.
Oh, she's told me quite a lot about you, too, the man in the front apartment.
Well, this is all part of a plot, Mrs. Walker. I'm very fond of Susie, but I also wanted to meet you.
Well, at least you're frank.
There goes Santa Claus.
Oh, don't even mention the name.
Why not, Mother?
Well, that Santa Claus you see is a last-minute substitute.
But why?
Oh, remember the way the janitor was last New Year's?
Oh, yeah. Drunk as a skunk.
Well, I see that Susan doesn't believe in Santa Claus either.
That's right. She never has.
Well, that's the end of the parade. Mother, I've been thinking. It's Thanksgiving, and there are only two of us. Couldn't we invite Mr. Gailey?
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Oh, well, please don't bother. I'll just have a sandwich or something.
But we have such a big turkey. Please, Mother, please.
Oh, well, I...
Did I ask her all right, Mr. Gailey?
Susie, shh.
You ask fine, Susan. Dinner's at 3, Mr. Gailey.
Hello, Mrs. Walker?
Yes, Mr. Shellhammer?
Your maid said you were at Thanksgiving dinner, but I just had to tell you, your Santa Claus was stupendous.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Macy himself wants him to be our toy department Santa Claus.
Oh, fine. Can you hire him?
Oh, I already have. Oh, he's a born salesman. I just feel it.
Good. We'll talk about it in the morning. Thanks for calling, Mr. Shellhammer.
Here he is, Mr. Shellhammer. Here's Santa Claus.
Oh, thank you, Alfred. Thank you. Good morning, Santa Claus.
Oh, good morning.
Now, before you go to the toy department, here's a list of toys that we have to push.
Oh?
Yeah. You know, the things that we're overstocked on. Now, you'll find that a great many children will be undecided as to what they want for Christmas. And when that happens, you immediately suggest one of these items. Do you understand?
Oh, I certainly do.
Fine. That's fine. Now, take the list and Alfred here will show you to your throne in the toy department. And don't you forget, you're working for Macy's.
Santa Claus?
Why, of course I am. What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
I want a fire engine with a real hose that squirts real wet water. And I won't do it in the house. I'll only do it in the backyard. I promise.
And I promise you'll get your fire engine.
You see, Mama? I told you he'd get me one.
Oh, that's fine. Just dandy. You wait here, Mortimer. Mama wants to thank Santa Claus, too.
Yes, madam?
Say, what's the matter with you?
No. What's the trouble?
I told you before, didn't I? The kid wants a fire engine. But there isn't one to be had anywhere in town. Macy's ain't got any. Gimble's ain't got any. Nobody's got any. My feet are killing me. And you say, okay, the kid gets a fire engine.
But you can get one of those fire engines at Schoenfels, Lexington Avenue. Only $4.50. A wonderful bargain.
Schoenfels?
Yes.
Hey, I don't get it.
Oh, I follow the toy market very closely.
Macy's sending people to other stores?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no. The one important thing is to make the children happy. Whether Macy's or somebody else sells the toy doesn't matter. Don't you feel that way?
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sure. Only I didn't know Macy's did. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Who's next, please? Right this way to see Santa Claus. All right, little girl, you're next.
Oh, of course, little girl. You want some roller skates? Well, you shall have them, too.
Mama, Mama, he's going to bring me some roller skates.
And he has some fine skates here at Macy's, haven't you, Santa Claus?
Oh, they're good skates, all right, but not quite good enough. Now I left some really wonderful roller skates at Gimble's. I'm sure Gimbals have just what this little girl wants. Very good.
Mr. Shellhammer. Are you Mr. Shellhammer?
Gimbals? Gimbals? That's just what he did say. Gimbals.
The sales lady said I should speak to you.
Gimbals?
I just wanted to congratulate you and Macy's on this wonderful new stunt you're pulling.
Gimbals.
Imagine a big outfit like Macy's putting the spirit of Christmas ahead of the commercial.
Gimbals.
From now on, I'm going to be a regular Macy's customer. All right, Mortimer. We're going.
Gimbals.
The toy department over there, Mr. Gailey.
Well, you certainly know all about Macy's store, don't you, Susan?
Well, that's because my mother works here. But I still think it's silly bringing me here to see Santa Claus.
Well, I just feel that when you've talked to him, you might...
Okay, Mr. Gailey. I'm certainly willing to try.
Well, well. What a fine young lady, eh? What's your name, little girl?
Susan Walker. What's yours?
Mine? Kris Kringle. I'm Santa Claus. Oh, you don't believe that, eh?
You see, my mother's Mrs. Walker. But I must say, you're the best-looking Santa Claus I've ever seen.
Really?
Your beard, for instance. It doesn't have one of those things that goes over your ears.
That's because it's real. Just like I'm really Santa Claus. Now go ahead, pull it.
Oh my goodness. It is real.
Yes. And now, what would you like me to bring you for Christmas?
Nothing, thank you. Whatever I want, my mother will get, if it's sensible and doesn't cost too much.
Oh?
That's quite right, Susan.
Oh, hello, Mother.
Hello, Mr. Gailey.
Hello. The explanation for all this is very simple. Your maid's mother sprained her ankle, and she had to go home, so she asked me to bring Susie down to you, and, well, as long as we were here, I figured we might as well say hello to Santa Claus.
He has real whiskers, Mother.
Susan, would you mind standing over there a minute?
Okay, if you want me to.
I shouldn't have brought Susie to see Santa, is that it?
Well, now you're making me feel completely heartless.
I'm sorry.
Don't you see? I tell Susan that Santa Claus is a myth, and you show her a very convincing old man with real whiskers. Whom is she to believe?
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
When Susan was a baby, her father and I were divorced. And ever since then, I've protected my child by teaching her realities. If you don't believe in fairy tales and fantasy, you can never be hurt or disillusioned.
We were talking about Susie, Mrs. Walker.
And I must ask you to let me raise her as I see fit. All right, dear, the store's going to close soon. We'll run along to my office.
Alfred said you wanted to see me, Mrs. Walker.
Oh, yes. Come on in. I'd be grateful if you'll please tell Susan that you're not really Santa Claus, that there actually is no such person.
Oh, but Mrs. Walker, not only is there such a person, but I'm here to prove it.
Oh, no. You misunderstand. I want you to tell her the truth. Now, what's your real name?
Oh, Kris Kringle. And I always tell the truth, Susan. I'll bet you're in the first grade.
Second grade?
I mean your real name.
Well, that is my real name. My goodness. The second grade?
Very well. I have your employment card right here. I'll look it up on that.
Oh, that's a very cute dress you have on, Susan.
It's from Macy's.
Oh.
We get 10% off.
So, you always tell the truth, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Look at your employment card.
Oh, name. Kris Kringle. Address, Brooks Memorial Home, Great Neck, Long Island. You may call a home if you'd confirm that, Mrs. Walker. It's a home for elderly gentlemen.
Well, would you like me to confirm this?
What's that?
Date of birth, as old as my tongue and a little bit older than my teeth. Place of birth, North Pole. Now, really?
Why? I believe you doubt me, Mrs. Walker.
And this Walker. Tops everything. Next of kin.
Oh, that?
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and Vixen. I'm sorry to have to do this, Mr.
Kringle.
But the Santa Claus that we had 2 years ago is back in town, and I feel that we owe it to him to,
Uh.
Oh, excuse me. Hello?
This is Mr. Shellhammer, Mrs. Walker. Drop whatever you're doing. Mr. Macy wants to see us immediately.
Oh, I'll be right up. I'm afraid I'll have to be very abrupt with you. I have to see Mr. Macy. You'll be paid for the full week, Mr. Kringle, and I'll send your check to that address.
Oh, come right in, Mrs. Walker, Mr. Shellhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Macy.
Now, about this new policy you two initiated. Macy Santa Claus sending customers to Gimbel's?
But I can explain everything, Mr. Macy.
You don't have to explain a thing. Just look at my desk. 42 telegrams and over 500 phone calls. Grateful parents expressing underlying gratitude to Macy's department store.
Why, you don't say.
And from now on, not only will our Santa Claus continue in this manner, but every salesperson in the entire store.
You mean that if we haven't got what the customer asks for, we're to send
them? We're to send them where he can get it. No high pressuring, no forcing a customer to take something he really doesn't want.
I think that's wonderful, Mr. Macy.
Well, we'll be known as the helpful store, the friendly store, the store that places public service ahead of profits. And consequently, we'll make more profits than ever. And as for you, Mrs. Walker and Mr. Shellhammer, you'll find a more practical expression of my gratitude in your Christmas envelopes.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you, yes.
And tell that wonderful Santa Claus I won't forget him either. Matter of fact, I'll tell him in the morning myself.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Macy.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Macy.
And thank you again, sir. Oh, imagine a bonus.
Yes.
Well, what's the matter with you?
Mr. Shellhammer, I just fired him.
Who?
Santa Claus.
Oh, no. No.
Oh.
No, you couldn't have.
But I did. He's crazy, Mr. Shellhammer. He really thinks he is Santa Claus.
I don't care if he thinks he's the Easter Bunny. Find him.
It was a frantic few hours that Doris spent last night rushing out to the Brooks Memorial Home in Long Island and assuring Kris Kringle that Macy's wanted him back as Santa Claus. Now, Kris is again presiding over the crowded toy department while in her office, Doris and Mr. Shellhammer...
Don't you understand, Mr. Shellhammer? That old man with the nice white whiskers insists that he is Santa Claus. Why, he's out of his mind. What if he should have a fit or something? Oh, no, I've got to tell Mr. Macy.
Yes, but maybe he's only a little crazy. Anyway, you can't be sure until he's examined. We'll send him to Mr. Sawyer.
Sawyer?
In personnel. He's paid to examine employees, isn't he? And now, by the way, what do you think of this?
Well, what is it?
A full-page ad Macy's is running in tomorrow's newspapers.
Macy's is running it? But it's all about the other stores, Gimbel's and Saks.
I know. Mr. Macy's idea to help our customers find what they want. Oh, it's revolting, isn't it?
That Santa Claus certainly has started something. Oh, well, I'll get a hold of him at his lunch hour and send him up to Mr. Sawyer.
Oh, so I changed my clothes. Mr. Sawyer came right up.
Oh, well then. That's your own beard, huh?
Oh, yes.
Interesting complex in the back of that. Why do you carry a cane?
Always carry a cane, Mr. Sawyer. Well, that is when I wear street clothes. I carved this cane out of a runner for my old sleigh.
What's that?
With a fine silver top.
Who was the first president of the United States?
What? Oh, give me a difficult one. Like who... Who was the vice president under James Monroe?
I'm conducting this examination.
The answer is Daniel D. Tompkins. Yes. Yes, you're a rather nervous man, aren't you, Mr. Sawyer?
Hmm?
Tell me, do you get enough sleep?
My personal habits are of no concern to yours. Now, what hand am I holding up?
Right hand.
How many fingers do you see?
Three. Oh, dear. You bite your nails, too.
Well, stand up now. Feet together, arms extended.
Muscular coordination test. I've taken dozens of these tests. Mr. Sawyer, are you happy at home?
What? That'll be all, Mr. Kringle. The examination is over.
Thank you.
And it may interest you to know, I've been happily married for 22 years. Very happily married.
Delighted to hear it. Goodbye, Mr. Sawyer.
Miss Prong?
Yes, sir.
Get Mrs. Walker on the phone.
Yes, sir. But your wife, Mr. Sawyer, she's called four times already.
Well, you tell my big, fat wife to shut up. Mind her own business.
Here's Mrs. Walker, sir.
Oh, all right. Hello?
Oh, I was just going to call you, Mr. Sawyer.
Oh?
There's a Dr. Pierce stopping by this afternoon at 3.
Who's Dr. Pierce?
He's the physician at the Brooks home. I thought we might discuss Mr. Kringle's case with him.
Well, there's hardly any point in discussing it, Mrs. Walker. Obviously, the old man should be discharged. So, Dr. Pierce, Kringle should be dismissed immediately and sent to a mental institution.
Oh, now just a minute, Mr. Sawyer.
He's deluded, saying that he's Santa Claus.
It's a delusion for good. I found he only wants to be friendly and helpful.
His whole manner suggests aggressiveness. Look at the way he carries that cane. Mrs. Walker, naturally, I can't discharge that loony. So he exhibits his maniacal tendency to fully realize the responsibility is completely yours.
Well, I'm right back where I started.
Mrs. Walker, I assure you, Kris Kringle has no maniacal tendencies.
Oh, but if there's the slightest possibility of his causing any trouble...
What trouble?
All that needs to happen is a policeman asks his name. Kris Kringle, clang, clang, and Macy's Santa Claus lands up in the psychopathic ward.
Well, you can prevent that very simply. Now, there must be someone here at the store who could rent him a room. Then they could both come to work together. I'd just as soon he avoided that long train ride to Long Island anyway.
You mean sort of take custody of him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Mr. Kringle would agree to that?
Oh, I'm sure he'll agree.
Well, in that case, well, now let me see. Who do I know who could rent him a room?
I'm glad you are going to have dinner with us, Mr. Kringle.
Oh, thank you, Susan.
I'm also very glad you're going to live next door with Mr. Gailey.
Oh, why?
Because you're nice to talk to.
Oh, I say, what a fine young man that Mr. Gailey is, eh? Just think, allowing me to share his apartment, a mere stranger.
He did it because Mother hinted to him.
Oh, well, anyway, I'm very grateful.
Shall I tell you what I did in school today?
Oh, by all means. Any games?
Yes, and a very silly game, too.
Oh?
They played zoo, and each child was supposed to be an animal.
Oh, but Susan, they were just pretending.
But that's what makes the game so silly.
Oh, well, of course. In order to play games, you need imagination.
Oh, that's when you see things, but they're not really there, huh?
Well, yes, yes. But you know, to me, imagination is a place all by itself. Now, you've heard of the French nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the British nation.
Yes.
Well, this is the imagination. A very interesting place, too. Now, how would you like to be able to make snowballs in the summertime, eh?
What?
Or be the Statue of Liberty in the morning, and in the afternoon fly south with a flock of geese.
Well, I'm quite sure I'd like to, but I don't think that's...
Oh, it's very simple, really. Well, anyway, look here. The next time they play zoo, you can be a monkey.
But I don't know how to be a monkey.
You don't? Oh, I'll show you. Now, first, you bend over a little like this, see? And you let your arms hang loose.
Like this?
Yes, that's fine, fine. Now put your hand over here and start scratching, see? That's it, that's it. That's excellent, Susan. That's as fine a bit of scratching as I've ever seen, yeah. Now, you start chattering.
Chattering?
Chattering, yes. Now listen. See? And keep scratching. Now then, look here, we'll do it together, see? Chatter and scratch, and scratch and chatter, see? That's fine, Susan. You're doing beautifully, beautifully, yes. Susan, are you still awake?
Uh-huh.
I'm just coming to say goodnight. Susan, that's all. Now look here, about Christmas. There must be something you'd like for Christmas.
Well, I've certainly thought about something, Mr. Kringle.
You have? What is it, eh? Tell me.
It's right here on the night table, see?
Oh.
I tore this page out of a magazine. It's a picture of a house.
Oh, that's what you want, is it? A dollhouse. Colonial architecture?
Oh, no. Not a doll's house. A real house.
A real house?
Yes. And if you're really Santa Claus, you can get it for me.
No. Wait a minute, Susie. What could you possibly do with a big house?
Live in it with my mother. And a backyard with a big tree to put a swing on. And a garden and a... Oh, well. Why even discuss it?
Susie. Could I keep this picture just in case?
I guess so.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Well, Mr. Gailey's waiting for me. Good night, monkey.
Good night, Mr. Kringle.
Well, take whichever bed you want, Mr. Kringle.
Oh, you're very kind, really. Tell me, Mr. Gailey, what is it you do for a living?
Oh, well, I'm a lawyer. Hayslip, Sherman, and McKenzie.
Oh, and you like living here in the city?
Well, it's convenient, but someday I'd like to get a place on Long Island.
Huh?
Well, not a big house, just one of those junior partner deals around Manhattan.
Oh, one of those little colonial houses, eh?
Yeah, a little colonial house would be swell.
Good, yes. You're quite fond of Mrs. Walker, aren't you?
Well, a lot of good it does me. She lives in a cast iron shell that's just, well, it's just a little difficult to penetrate.
Oh, well, you must try a little harder, Mr. Gailey, you know. Mrs. Walker and that child are a couple of lost souls, and it's up to us to help them.
Oh?
Yes. Oh, well. Shall I turn out the light?
No.
No?
No, well, I'm not going to be cheated out of this. You know, all my life I've wondered about it, and now I'm going to find out. Tell me, does Santa Claus sleep with his whiskers outside or inside the covers?
Outside, of course. Outside, by all means. The cold air makes them grow.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Oh, come in, Mrs. Walker. Come in.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Macy. I've just heard something very exciting.
You have? Well, let me tell you something very exciting. Our policy of being kind to customers has tripled our sales. Now, what do you think of that?
That's wonderful, Mr. Macy. And Gimbals thinks it's wonderful, too.
Gimbals?
Gimbals are adopting the same policy.
Well, is that so?
And it gives me an idea. As long as Gimbals are doing the same thing, why not some pictures for newspapers?
Pictures?
Yes, you and Mr. Gimble, shaking hands.
Shaking hands? R.H. Macy and Gimble?
Well, yes.
Well, why not? With Santa Claus, it's a great idea, Mrs. Walker. Macy's and Gimble shaking hands. Oh, that's enough pictures, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Gimble?
Come on, R.H., now we'll go over to my store and get some really good pictures.
Just a minute. I have something here for you, Santa Claus. Here you are, Mr. Kringle, a check in appreciation of all you've done.
Oh, Mr. Macy, why, that's most kind of you.
I didn't think you were that generous, R.H. That's quite a check. What are you going to do with it, Mr. Kringle?
Well, I have a friend, a Dr. Pierce. He needs a new X-ray machine.
Buy the machine through the store. 10% discount.
Nonsense. Come over to Gimbel's. We'll furnish it at cost.
Oh, keep it up, gentlemen. Keep it up. At this rate, my friend will have a whole new hospital.
How'd the pictures turn out, Mr. Kringle?
Oh, fine, Alfred, fine. How about a game of checkers during lunch, eh?
Not today, Chris. I don't feel so good.
Oh, what's the matter, Alfred?
Oh, nothing much. You remember I was telling you about how I like to play Santa Claus over at the Y and give out packages to the kids.
Yes.
Well, I was telling Mr. Sawyer about it, and he says that's very bad, that psychologically it's all wrong.
Wrong?
Well, he says guys who play Santa Claus do it because when they was young, they must have done something bad. And now they do something they think is good to make up for it. See, it's what he calls a guilt complex.
Alfred, What else has he found wrong with you?
Oh, nothing much. Just that I hate my father. Well, I didn't know it, but he says I do.
Excuse me?
Hey, ain't you gonna have lunch?
Later. Right now, I have an appointment with Mr. Sawyer.
What do you mean, breaking into my office like this?
Are you a licensed psychiatrist?
What business is it of yours?
I have great respect for psychiatry and great contempt for meddling amateurs who go around practicing it.
Oh, shut up.
You ought to be housewhipped. Taking a boy like Alfred and filling him up with complexes and phobias?
I think I'm better equipped to judge that than you.
Just because Alfred wants to be kind to children? You tell him he has a guilt complex?
Well, having the same delusion, you couldn't possibly understand. Whoa. And don't you wave that cane at me.
Either you stop analyzing Alfred or I'll go straight to Mr. Macy and tell him what a contemptible fraud you are.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here before I have you thrown out.
There's only one way to handle a man like you. Maybe this will knock some sense into you.
Ah! Ah! Ow! Ah!
Good day, Mr. Sawyer.
Miss Prong, get me the police. Get me Mrs. Walker. Get me the psychopathic ward in Bellevue Hospital.
You can see Mr. Kringle now, Mr. Gailey.
Thank you, nurse. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Fred.
Chris, I've been speaking to the doctors. They said that they've given you some tests.
Oh, yes. Same old tests.
Yeah, except this time you failed to pass them. Chris, you deliberately failed. Why?
Why? Well, because I had great hopes, Fred. I had a feeling Mrs. Walker was beginning to believe in me, and now, well, now I discover she was only humoring me all this time.
But it wasn't Doris's idea at all. Mr. Sawyer had you sent up here before she even knew about it.
Oh, but why? Why didn't she come to me and explain things?
Well, because she didn't want to hurt you.
Well, it's not just Mrs. Walker. It's, well, now take Mr. Sawyer. He's contemptible, dishonest, deceitful. Yet he's out there and I'm in here. Well, if that's normal, I don't want it.
But you can't just think of yourself, Chris. What happens to you matters to a lot of other people. People like me who believe in what you stand for, and people like Susie who are just beginning to. Chris, you're letting us down.
Fred, maybe you're right. Of course you're right. I ought to be ashamed of myself. Let's get out of here.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You flunked your mental examination, but good.
Oh, yes, I did. Well, anyway, you're a lawyer. You fix it.
Hey, look, I can't just...
No, I won't let you down, and you won't let me down.
Chris, now, take it easy. Look, there'll have to be a hearing. If you're going to be committed, it has to be before a judge.
Well,
if I can do anything at all, it'll have to be in a courtroom. Now, sit tight, Chris. I'll get an idea. I have to get an idea.
You sent for me, Mr. Macy?
I certainly did, Mr. Sawyer. I brought my family to the toy department to see our Santa Claus. And our Santa Claus isn't here. He's in Bellevue.
Yes, Mr. Macy.
Because he's a lunatic.
Yes, sir. A lunatic.
Lunatic my foot. Now you listen to me, Sawyer. You get that case dropped right away, or you'll have another lump to match the one he gave you.
But it's out of my hands. Mr. Kringle goes to court in the morning.
Well, just see that he's back in the toy department by afternoon. Now get out of here.
Mr. Gailey?
Yes?
I've been looking all over for you. I'm Mr. Sawyer.
Oh, so you're Sawyer.
Yes. I was just speaking to the court clerk, and he said you represent Mr. Kringle. Well, I represent Mr. Macy.
Oh, well, then I'll see you in court.
Oh, no. That's what I wanted to speak to you about. Now, Mr. Macy would like to drop the whole case right now. You see, we're most anxious to avoid any publicity.
No publicity, huh?
Hmm.
Well, that's very interesting.
Oh, then you cooperate.
You know something, Sawyer? You've just given me the idea that I've been searching for.
Oh, good.
If I'm going to win this case, I'm going to have public opinion and plenty of it. And publicity's just the way to do it. Thanks, and so long, Mr. Sawyer.
Mr. Gailey? But Mr. Gailey.
Hey, look at these newspapers, Chris. Here, Evening Dispatch. Doctors doubt sanity of Santa who launched goodwill campaign.
Oh, my.
Daily Bulletin. Macy's Santa Claus to have lunacy hearing.
What's this one?
The New York Express.
Is Kris Kringle crazy? Court case coming. Kiddies cry calamity.
You've driven the United Nations clear back to page 5. Well, get a good night's sleep, Chris. We go before Judge Harper at 10 tomorrow morning.
For a few weeks, a jolly elderly gentleman named Kris Kringle has been working minor miracles as Macy's Santa Claus. Now, his sanity has been seriously questioned, and in a crowded courtroom, Judge Harper listens patiently as the assistant district attorney summons Kris to the witness stand.
Now, this is not a trial, Mr. Kringle. It's just a hearing, so you don't have to answer any questions. Now then, where do you live, please?
Well, it seems to me that's why this hearing will decide, won't it?
Mr. Kringle, do you believe that you are Santa Claus?
Oh, of course I do.
That's all, Your Honor. The state rests its case.
Well, Mr. Gailey?
Your Honor, Mr. Mara contends that my client is not sane because he believes that he is Santa Claus.
An entirely logical conclusion. Anyone who thinks he's Santa Claus is crazy.
Your Honor, you believe yourself to be Judge Harper, yet no one questions your sanity because you are Judge Harper, do they?
Mr. Kringle is the subject of this sanity hearing, not I.
Well, Your Honor, I intend to prove that Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
Mr. Mara, I thought you said this was a cut-and-dried sanity hearing.
Well, I thought it was, Your Honor.
In view of Mr. Gailey's statement, I'll have to review the entire background of this case. Court's adjourned till tomorrow morning.
Hello, Doris. I'm sorry I'm late, but get ready. We're going to celebrate tonight.
Oh, what are we celebrating?
Well, didn't you read the papers? Santa's mouthpiece throws bombshell in New York Supreme Court.
Oh, Fred, you're not really serious about this. You can't possibly prove that Kris Kringle is Santa Claus.
Well, you saw Mr. Macy and Mr. Gimble shake hands. That wasn't possible either.
Well, what does your firm have to say about it? Haislip and McKenzie and then the rest of them.
Well, I've jeopardized their prestige, and either I drop this impossible case or they'll drop me.
You see?
So I beat them to it. I quit.
Fred, you threw away a career because of a sentimental whim?
Well, I'll open up my own office.
And what kind of clients will you get?
Oh, well, probably a lot of people like Kris who are being pushed around. That's the only fun in law anyway. Doris, look, don't you have any faith in me at all?
Oh, it's not a question of faith. It's just common sense.
But faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. It's not just Kris that's on trial. It's everything that he stands for. Human kindness and love and dignity and...
Oh, Fred, listen. We've seen a lot of each other the last couple of weeks, and I've become fond of you. We've talked about some wonderful plans, haven't we? And then you do this. Go on an idealistic binge, throw away your security, and expect me to be happy about it.
And I expect too much. Is that it? Well, that's that, I guess. Good night, Doris.
Hello? Yes, this is Mr. Mara. Well, can it wait till tomorrow? I'm eating Who's been subpoenaed? Well, how do you think I feel about it? I'll see you tomorrow.
Who is that, dear?
R.H. Macy's been subpoenaed.
Oh, my.
Those reporters, they make me look like a sadistic monster who likes nothing better than to drown pussycats and tear wings off butterflies.
Quiet, dear. Tommy's still awake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It'd just break his heart if he knew what his daddy is doing.
I'm doing my job as assistant district attorney.
Well, I'm not so sure, but... that I agree with them. Mr. Kringle looks like a very nice old man, and I don't see why you have to keep persecuting him.
I'm not persecuting him. I'm prosecuting him. I like the old man, too, but there's nothing I can do about it.
You know something, Thomas? Sometimes I wish I'd married a butcher. Or a plumber.
Well, if I lose this case, it's very possible you'll get your wish. R.H. Macy, I wonder what he's going to pull tomorrow.
Proceed with the witness, Mr. Gailey.
Now then, Mr. Macy, if you recognize the defendant, please tell us who he is.
Why, Kris Kringle, of course.
Do you believe him to be of sound mind?
Sound mind? I wish I had a dozen like him.
Mr. Macy, you are under oath. Do you believe that man is Santa Claus?
Well, now, that's rather a delicate...
Think of those headlines tomorrow. Macy admits his Santa Claus is fraud.
You keep out of this, Kimball.
What did you say?
Nothing, Mr. Mara. Nothing.
Well, I wish you would. Is that man Santa Claus?
Yes. In my opinion, he most certainly is.
Your Honor, there's no such person as Santa Claus, and everybody knows it.
Can you prove there isn't any?
I won't even try. I'll not waste the court's time with such childish nonsense. Your Honor, the prosecution requests an immediate ruling from this court. Is there or is there not a Santa Claus?
Well, now, the court will take a short recess to consider the question.
Hello, Henry.
Why, Charlie, what are you doing here?
Can't an old friend visit you in your chambers? And if you ask me, you never needed a friend like you do now.
This Kringle case? Oh, I certainly don't see what they're making such a fuss about.
Henry, that's Santa Claus you got out there on trial for lunacy. This case is dynamite, and you're coming up for re-election soon.
Charlie, do you know what happened last night? Martha brought the grandchildren over. They wouldn't kiss Grandpa. They wouldn't even talk to me.
Oh, you see what I mean? If you rule there is no Santa Claus, you better start looking for that chicken farm right now.
I'm a responsible judge. How can I seriously rule that there is a Santa Claus?
Because of what happens if you don't. The kids read about it, and they don't hang up their stockings. Now, what happens to all those toys that are supposed to be in those stockings? Nobody buys them. Toy manufacturers have to lay off employees. By now, you've got the AFLL and the CIO against you. Yes, and they're going to say it with votes, see? Oh, and the department store is going to love you, too. Yes, Sir Henry. What about the Salvation Army? They've got a Santa Claus on every street corner. They're taking a lot of money to help the poor. But go ahead, Henry. You go in there and rule there isn't any Santa Claus. But if you do, you can count on getting just two votes. Your own and a district attorney's out there.
One vote. He's a Republican. Well, let's get this over with. The question of Santa Claus seems to be largely a matter of opinion. The tradition of American justice demands a broad and unprejudiced view of such a controversial matter.
But, Your Honor!
This court, therefore, intends to keep its mind open. We shall ask for evidence on either side.
But the burden of proof clearly rests with my opponent. Can he produce any evidence to support his views?
If Your Honor please, I can. Will Thomas Mara please take the stand?
Wait, who, me?
No, Thomas Mara Jr. I believe that he and his mother are both in court today.
Hi, Papa.
Hi.
Tommy, do you believe in Santa Claus?
I sure do.
Gosh, he gave me a brand new sled last year.
Now, what does Santa Claus look like, Tommy?
Well, there he is, sitting right over there.
Your Honor, I protest.
Overruled.
Tell me, Tommy, why are you so sure that there is a Santa Claus?
Because my papa told me so. Didn't you, Pop?
Thank you, Tommy. You can go back to your mother now.
See you later, Papa.
You certainly will, Your Honor.
Hey, don't forget, Santa Claus. This year I want a football helmet.
Oh, don't worry, Tommy. You'll get it.
Mr. Kringle, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry, sir.
Your Honor, the state of New York concedes the existence of a Santa Claus, but in so conceding, we demand that Mr. Gailey stop representing and presenting personal opinion as evidence. I insist he submit authority to prove that Mr. Kringle here is the one and only Santa Claus.
Well, Mr. Gailey, are you prepared to show that Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus on the basis of unprejudiced authority?
Well, sir, no, not now. I need a little time.
Why not now?
Tomorrow, Your Honor.
Very well. Court's adjourned till tomorrow morning. Oh, brother.
Now come, Susan, dear. Finish your supper.
But I can't, Mother. All those things they're saying in the newspapers about Mr. Kringle and Mr. Gailey.
They're having this trial because he says he's Santa Claus.
He's so kind and nice and jolly. He's not like anyone else I know. He must be Santa.
You know something? I think perhaps you're right.
Is Mr. Kringle sad now, Mother?
I'm afraid he must be.
Then I'll write him a letter. Maybe that'll make him feel better. I'll cheer him up.
Oh, postman, postman.
Yeah, lady?
Would you mind taking this letter?
Oh, sure, lady. We're going straight down to the post office now. Okay, Louie, take it away. Well, what do you know, Louie? Another letter for Santa Claus. Hey, here's a new one. Instead of the North Pole, this kid's got it addressed to Kris Kringle, New York County Courthouse.
Well, the kid's right.
Yeah, sure, they got him on trial down there. He claims he's Santa Claus, and the DA claims he's nuts. Hey. Hey, I got an idea.
Yeah?
How many Santa Claus letters we got down there in the dead letter office?
Well, who knows? Must be 50,000. Bags and bags all over the joint. Hey, you mean...
Well, Louie, why not? Wouldn't it be nice to get rid of them all, wouldn't it? Boy, oh boy, look, Louie. Soon as we get to the post office, we go and see the supervisor. You know something? I bet we both get promoted.
And since the defense has been unable to submit one shred of proof that Kris Kringle is the one and only Santa Claus, and since tonight is Christmas Eve, I ask Your Honor that this hearing be terminated without further delay.
I protest. I do have evidence.
Five minutes ago, you said you didn't.
Well, during Mr. Mara's oration, the bailiff handed my client the evidence that I refer to.
What evidence?
This letter, Your Honor.
Oh, yes, Mr. Kringle.
It's from Susan Walker. She believes in me. Oh, this letter means more to me than anything in the world.
That letter, Your Honor, was delivered by the United States Post Office, an official agency of the federal government. The Post Office Department is one of the largest business concerns in the world. Last year, it did a gross volume of over $1 billion, and this year...
Your Honor, I'm sure we're all gratified that the post office is getting along so well. What bearing has it on the sanity of that man?
My point is that the post office department is a model of efficiency. Furthermore, the laws of this country make it a criminal offense to willfully misdirect mail or intentionally deliver it to the wrong party.
The state of New York is second to none in its admiration of the post office department. We're very happy to concede Mr. Gailey's...
Concede for the record, Mr. Mara?
For the record, anything to get on with this case.
Thank you. Your Honor, that letter just received by Mr. Kringle is positive proof that a competent...
One letter is hardly positive proof.
Well, I have further exhibits, Your Honor, but I hesitate to produce them.
Come, come, Mr. Gailey. Put them here on my desk.
But, Your Honor...
I said put them on my desk.
All right, boys, bring them in.
Your Honor, what is this?
Empty those mail sacks on Judge Harper's desk.
Well,
bring them all in or be fined for contempt of court.
Now, just a second here.
We'll do it, Your Honor. Through rain, through sleet, through courtrooms, anything. We deliver.
Mr. Gailey.
Your Honor, every one of those letters in every one of those mail sacks is addressed to Santa Claus. The post office delivered them. Therefore, the post office department recognizes Kris Kringle to be the one and only Santa Claus.
Since the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed.
Oh, all right.
And for heaven's sake, get this mail out of my courtroom.
So, as soon as I got out of court, I came straight to Macy's to see you, Doris.
Oh, Kris, I'm so glad you won.
Oh, well, we're having a big Christmas party at Brooks' home tomorrow morning. I'd like so much to see you and Susan there.
We'll be there, Kris. Oh, Kris, couldn't you come home now and have dinner with us?
No! Tonight, me? My goodness, Doris, it's Christmas Eve.
Alfred, Alfred, look who came all the way out here to the home, just for our Christmas party.
Yes, it's Mr. Macy.
And Mr. Gimble, too. Oh, excuse me, Alfred. Mrs. Walker and Susan have to leave now, and I want to see them before they go. So forgive me, will you?
But, Susie, darling, you got so many presents.
Not the one I wanted. Not the one Mr. Kringle was going to get for me.
Oh, well, what was it, dear?
Doesn't matter. I knew I wouldn't get it, but I thought he'd at least tell me why.
Susie, I'm sorry, Susie. I tried my best.
You couldn't get it because you're not Santa Claus.
Susan.
Just a nice old man, like Mother said.
But I was wrong when I told you that. You must believe in Mr. Kringle and keep right on doing it. You must have faith in him.
But that doesn't make sense, Mother.
Well, faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to.
What?
I mean, just because things don't turn out the way you want them to the first time, you've still got to believe in people. I found that out.
Hello, Doris.
Fred!
Mr. Gailey!
Merry Christmas, Susie.
Gosh, you just got here and we're ready to leave.
Oh, I've been here.
Oh.
And if you're ready to leave, I'll drive you home.
Oh, before you go, here. Here's a map I've made for you. You'll miss a lot of traffic. About 4 miles south, you'll see Ashley Avenue. Now, that's the street you want, Ashley Avenue.
Thanks, Kris, and Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, Fred. And to you, my dear. And to you, Susan.
I believe, Mr. Kringle. I do. It's silly, I suppose, but I do.
I don't understand it, Fred. The map Kris gave definitely says Ashley Avenue. We've been on Ashley Avenue now for...
Stop the car! Oh, stop the car, please!
Susie, what is it, darling? What's the matter?
There it is! The house! The house!
Susie!
What in the world?
She's running into that house.
Well, at least there's no one home. It's brand new. It's just been built.
Yeah, for sale, it says. For sale.
What on earth is that child up to?
Susie!
Susie! Here I am upstairs!
Oh, now come right down. You know you shouldn't run around in other people's houses. That's strange.
Boy, I'll say.
No, I mean this house. I've seen this house somewhere. I know I have. Maybe in a magazine or...
Mother, it's our house. It's the one I asked him for. Mr. Kringle.
Mr. Kringle?
I know it is. Oh, you are right, Mommy. You are right.
Susie?
Mommy told me that if things didn't turn out just the way you wanted them at first, you've still got to believe. And I kept believing. And you were right, Mommy. Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
Well, now where are you going?
In back to see if there's a swing. There is one. Oh, there is one.
You told her that? About believing?
Well, you told me, Fred.
Well, the sign outside, for sale, huh? Well, we can't let her down, can we?
I never really doubted you. It was just my silly common sense.
It even makes sense to believe in me now. I must be a pretty good lawyer. I take a little old man and legally prove to the world that he's Santa Claus now. You know that that couldn't...
Fred!
What's the matter?
There! In the corner! By the fireplace!
Oh no!
Oh no, it can't be. It just couldn't!
A cane. Chris's cane. Well, there couldn't be two canes like this anywhere in the world.
Silver handle and all.
Hey, you know something? Maybe I didn't do such a wonderful thing after all.
Tonight's performance of Miracle on 34th Street was performed in front of a live studio audience. It was produced and directed by Eric Joseph and engineered by John Shea with assistance from Liz Vandenberg. This radio play was read by TIC volunteers Steve Verta, Karen Hayes, Jennifer Love, Jack Garrity, Grant Baxter, Bill Zerpolo, George Krein, Bob Churchill, and Bridget Hindle. This program was made possible by the generous support of volunteers, sponsors, and donors. A special thanks to our sponsors, the Bay Colony Shakespeare Company and the Plymouth Lions Club, pulling together year-round on projects and events that service the various needs of the community. That concludes tonight's performance, which will be available shortly on the special programming page at ticnetwork.org. Join us next month on Thursday, January 25th, when we bring back Sergeant Joe Friday in Dragnet, The Big Filth, for your listening pleasure. On behalf of our cast, the Talking Information Center, and our sponsors, this is your announcer, Eric Joseph, wishing you all happy holidays and a Merry Christmas while telling you, dear listeners, that's a wrap.